are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, and welcome back to Locked On Brewers, brought to you by the Locked On Podcast Network, where we talk about your favorite teams every day. I am your host, Jake Mastriani. You can follow me on Twitter at shortstopball. Check out my bio there to see everywhere I am covering the game of baseball in written form. Also joining me is my co-host, Vinny Rattino. You can follow him on Twitter at Vinny Rattino. Also, make sure you follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Brewers and subscribe to the Locked On Brewers podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And as always, thank you for making Locked On Brewers your first listen of each and every day. We post episodes daily, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. We are free and available on all platforms, and we will be here to help guide you through the offseason, because that's where we are now. We are in the offseason. The offseason has started. We've already seen a couple of moves, one of which the Brewers have made, which we'll talk about later in the episode. But in case you missed it, the Atlanta Braves were the World Series champions. They take care of those cheating Astros, as Vinny likes to call them, and win the series in six games. Win it the last game handily, 7-0. Really just take care of business. Really an impressive run by the Atlanta Braves. And, you know, a lot of credit to them. Obviously, they're the team that knocked out the Brewers in the first round. And I think, you know, looking back now, Vinny, at that series, you know, you can honestly say the Brewers just ran into a really hot Atlanta Braves team. I mean, the best team in all of baseball, the last team standing. So I think for me, it helps me look back on that series a little bit more and know, you know, exactly what the Brewers were going up against and just how, you know, the struggles for the Brewers in that series was the offense just didn't get going. Well, that Braves pitching staff that shut down the Brewers, they also shut down the Astros, which was the best offense in all of baseball. So I think we have to look at that and realize, you know, just how good that Braves pitching staff was. I mean, in the four wins that the Braves had in the World Series, they shut the Astros to two runs or less and threw two shutouts, again, against the best offense statistically throughout the entire season in the Houston Astros. So again, Vinny, I know it's not any kind of consolation prize or anything, but I think just for me, you know, in retrospect, looking back, it makes me feel a little bit better about the Brewers in that series, knowing that they were just going up against a buzzsaw in that Atlanta Braves pitching staff with the starters and the bullpen.
Yeah, I mean, they weren't very deep, but they had about seven guys that they were able to go to, including the three top starters, and then about four arms in the bullpen that were just lights out. I mean, when I saw Tyler Matzek throwing strikes and ripping off that nasty slider, I think we talked about it on this show about three, four times, how dominant that guy is, especially when he's able to throw strikes and then with the ability to land the slider. Yeah, I mean, again, they weren't as deep as some of the other teams in terms of impact arms, but those seven guys, again, it might be eight, might be six, I mean, it's about seven dudes that were just totally lights out in the playoffs. And that's what got it done for them at the end of the day, right? I mean, their offense was good. They had a good cohesive unit. They had some impact bats there. Obviously, Freddie Freeman and Jorge Soler got hot there at the end for them. Adam Duvall had some big hits. You know, they have a formidable lineup. Their pitching was just – they had enough pitching to be dominant and win the World Series. And really, that's you can do it. You can skin a cat and win the World Series in multiple different ways. And that's how the Braves did it this year. And look, they almost did it last year too. So, I mean, this is a good ball club. The Brewers ended up playing the best team in the league in that first round. And it's unfortunate because I do think the Brewers would have made as good of a run as the Braves did in this World Series. So looking forward to next year's playoffs for sure.
Yeah. I mean, by default, the Brewers are the second best team in all of baseball, right? Isn't that how that works? I mean, they went toe to toe with the Braves there. I mean, so I think the Brewers will take that second place finish there. But I mean, you know, seriously, I think the model of what the Braves did is not that different than what the Brewers are looking to do. You know, you talked about it. The Braves had, you know, six or seven relievers that they trusted. I mean, they trusted Charlie Morton, Max Fried, and Ian Anderson, you know, those three starters. And then they had AJ Minter, Luke Jackson, Tyler Matzik, and Will Smith. So, you know, seven arms there that they really trusted, and they rode those guys through the postseason. You know, I think the Brewers are very similar in that, and that they have, you know, those guys. They have Burns, they have Woodruff, they have Peralta, they have Williams, they have Hader. You know, they have a strong core of pitchers that you can lean on to carry you through a postseason there. So I think they have that same success. They just didn't have, you know, the offense. They didn't have that pop, and that's what the Braves had. They had the Solaires, they had the Freddie Freemans, as you mentioned, the Austin Rileys. You know, they had the guys that could go deep. They could put a big number on the board quickly. I mean, you look at the way the Braves scored their runs in that World Series, and I think it was something like 60% or something of their runs scored were all off home runs. So, you know, that can sometimes be a recipe for disaster in the postseason, just living and dying on that home run ball. But it paid off for the Braves. And again, I think that's kind of a model of what the Brewers are going to try to do in these next couple of years, Vinny, is to lean on that good or great young pitching staff and then just try to supplement this lineup with guys who can, you know, hit home runs, that can bring some power, something that they were really lacking this past season.
Yeah, and I mean, Alex Anthopoulos brought in some guys that were impactful to that lineup, right? I mean, brought in Soler, brought in Adam Duvall, especially after Ozuna was out, especially after Ronald Acuna, you know, perhaps MVP of the league, was out as well. So he did a great job of piecing together a lineup. I think you do see that at times where you can find some guys kind of on the scrap heap, so to speak, for pitching, right? Some starting pitching is pretty cheap. Well, Anthopoulos found a couple of dudes kind of on the scrap heap in terms of bats, and you usually don't see that, but they were very, very impactful and really completed the lineup, those two guys in particular, in my opinion. And, yeah, I mean, you look to for the Brewers to do something similar. You got to find the right guys, though, and that's easier said than done. So and it's going to be an interesting offseason in terms of who they target for those types of bats, because they're definitely going to need a couple.
Yeah. And one you didn't mention there, Eddie Rosario, you know, the NLCS MVP, he was big as well. And he's somebody that, I don't know, could potentially be a fit for the Brewers in a corner outfield spot. I know you've mentioned Duvall as well from the Braves there, but Rosario set to be a free agent. I mean, what he did for that team in the postseason, I mean, was just really amazing. So he could be a potential target for the Brewers this offseason, a left-handed bat with some pop. But congratulations to the Atlanta Braves. You know, if it wasn't going to be the Brewers, obviously very happy with it being the Atlanta Braves and taking down those Astros in the World Series. So we'll take a break on today's episode. We're going to continue our 2021 player review, looking at Corbin Burns. Hopefully this will be a little bit more on the positive side after going over Christian Yelich in the last episode. But if you haven't checked that one out, please make sure to go back and listen to that 2021 player review of Christian Yelich. But like I said, we'll take a quick break here and then we'll begin our 2021 player review of Corbin Burns. BetOnline is back and better than ever. A new web interface for the start of the basketball season and more props, odds, and lines than ever before. BetOnline remains your number one spot for all the basketball and football action this season. Head to their new updated desktop or mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. From baseball, basketball, football, NHL, boxing, and UFC, right to your favorite Vegas casino games. Don't wait to take advantage of all the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. All right, so taking a look back at the season for Corbin Burns and, you know, starting off looking at what went right. And a lot of things went right for Corbin Burns on this season. 2.43 ERA, 28 starts, 167 innings, 234 strikeouts, 0.94 whip. Made his first all-star appearance, will likely finish at least top two in the Cy Young. I'm starting to not feel as great about him winning it from some of the polls out there that I'm seeing, but will at least finish top two in the Cy Young. For me, he proved to people that 2020 wasn't a fluke. He had a 2.11 ERA in 2020 and 59 and two thirds with 88 strikeouts and a whip of 102. A lot of people maybe chalk that up to a short season. He came and proved that that was not a fluke, that he is one of the most dominant pitchers in all of baseball. He was mostly healthy. He did have a IL stint on the COVID list. And I think the six-man rotation helped keep him fresh, again, coming off the shortened 2020 season. So I think that was a positive for him as well. He had competition in the rotation. You know, it wasn't always dependent on him. I go back to the 90s Braves teams that I grew up watching. You know, those big three, Maddox, Glavine, and Smoltz, they all pushed each other to be better. And I think you had that with this group. So I think that was, you know, a little friendly competition in the clubhouse was great for him. Best year for a starting pitcher ever. And analytically speaking, he had the highest fastball spin rate. He was in the top 8% of the league in barrel percentage, exit velocity, expected batting average, expected slugging, WOBA, hard hit percentage, K percentage, walk percentage, and expected ERA. His expected ERA was actually lower than his real ERA. His xERA was 2.01, which tells you he was even actually a little unlucky this year. And that would explain why his FIP, fielding independent pitching, was 1.63, one of the lowest in the history of baseball. And FIP takes into account defense and different stadium situations. So it basically takes out, you know, anything that the pitcher can't control. He had a 7.5 WAR according to Fangraphs, which was the highest among any pitcher in 2021. And even though the spin rates went down after they started to crack down on the foreign substances, it didn't affect his effectiveness at all. If anything, you know, he got even better in the second half of the season. Batters hit just 0.69 against his curveball this year, and he had a whiff rate of 50.3% on that pitch. Obviously, his cutter is his number one pitch as well, but it just makes his secondary pitches so much better. So for me, Vinny, that's everything I wrote down that went right for Corbin Burnes this year. Obviously, a lot went right, but what thing in particular from Corbin Burnes were you excited to see this season for him?
I was during the second game of the year against the Twins. Brandon Woodruff started opening day. I was there and then went to the next game against the Twins, and I was just astounded by the ability to command this nasty repertoire, right? I mean, this is what makes him so good. I mean, he's always had this repertoire. He's always had the nasty cutter. He's always had the nasty slider. He's flashed the changeup. He's always had that nasty exploding breaking ball from top to bottom. But the ability this year to command all of his pitches was astounding. It was remarkable. I mean, you just do not see guys with that kind of stuff. I mean, look, you talk about the Braves in the 90s, and this is exactly what John Smoltz had in his back pocket, right? He would have a 99-mile-an-hour fastball that he would be able to pinpoint on the corners at the top of the zone, all four quadrants. He would do whatever he wanted with that fastball, and then he had that nasty, disgusting slider and then that split that he had too. So, I mean, and he would be able to command all these pitches and he would be able to repeat his delivery. And that's what stood out to me this year from Corbin Burnes. And that's why he's got that laundry list of records and top three finishes and all those pitching categories this year is because of that. And that's why he's going to continue to get better, which is scary to think about. Because he's just kind of tapping into what he learned how to do these last couple of years. And he's learned how to repeat his delivery so well. He's learned the mental side of what it takes to be a dominant starter. And it's only going to get better. And that's what's again, stood out to me this year was that. And it would be, in my opinion, too bad if he didn't win the Cy Young, because he certainly earned it. He had the highest WAR, like you said, according to Fangraphs. Baseball Reference has him a little bit lower down the list on WAR, but Fangraphs has him as a leader in WAR, which is a counting stat, which means he was more impactful with less innings than the rest of the league. So that is what kind of stands out to me in terms of how dominant he was, and I think he should win the Cy Young.
Yeah, the biggest thing for me for Burnes this year is just the evolution, like you kind of talked about. You know, getting to see Burns kind of evolve, you know, like I said, proving to people that 2020 wasn't a fluke, that he is one of the most dominant pitchers in all of baseball. I think that was the biggest thing for me, to see him take that step, continue to evolve. And again, like you said, I think he's continuing on that path and will continue to evolve and just get better as a pitcher. I mean, it'll be a shame if he doesn't win it this year, but I feel like he's going to have more opportunities in the coming up years as well. All right, so let's look at what went wrong for Corbin Burns in 2021. And there really wasn't much here. I mentioned it a minute ago, you know, he missed time due to COVID. That's obviously not awesome. And that could play a big part in him possibly not winning the Cy Young. I mean, me and you have talked about it. It's so close between him and Max Scherzer. You could get a lot of the old school guys that come in and say, well, Scherzer made two more starts. Scherzer threw 12 more innings, and that really could be the difference in somebody voting for Scherzer and not voting for Corbin Burns. And Burns missed a couple starts because of, you know, IL, because of COVID. So that is something that I think, you know, went wrong and could work in his detriment as far as winning that award. Didn't get a lot of run support, especially early on in the season. The Brewers lost 6 of his first 8 outings on the year, and the Brewers scored a total of 6 runs in those losses. So not a lot of run support for Burns this season. He only got 1 start in the postseason, and I'm not going to bring back up that debate. I don't think it was a wrong decision for Craig Counsell not to bring him back in short rest in game 4. You know, as me and Vinny talked about, had all the confidence in the world in Eric Lauer. The pitching was not the problem in that series at all, but I would have loved to see Corbin Burns pitch one more time this season. So, you know, him not being able to pitch again definitely is something that went wrong for him and for Brewers fans as well, wanting to see him pitch in a game 5 situation. But honestly, Benny, there's not much else that went wrong for Corbin Burns this year. Is there anything else you can think of?
I can't think of anything that went wrong for him. It was just remarkable what he was able to do. There was a lull there. I think he had one bad start in Colorado, which he's kind of had a history of. I think he kind of had some nightmares perhaps from the 2018 season when he was actually playing in AAA there. And the balls doesn't in Colorado Springs. I apologize. In Colorado Springs was their AAA at that time. And so the ball doesn't really like break as much, and he is relying on movement. And so maybe he was having some issues trying to make the ball move, or just kind of got out of his game plan in that start. And I think he carried over to one other start, but that was really the only hiccup besides what you talked about with the injury and going on the IL. It was the only hiccup this year for him. It's encouraging to know how consistent this dude is, right? And so that is very encouraging for the pitching staff going forward.
Yeah, I mean, his worst start of the year actually came against the Atlanta Braves, where he gave up 5 runs on 9 hits and 2 walks over 4 innings with 6 strikeouts through 96 pitches. And, you know, actually he gave up those runs pretty early and continued to pitch, kept his team in the game, and the Brewers went on to win that game 9-5. So, I mean, that was his worst outing of the year. He had a couple of other outings where he gave up 4 earned runs. There really was a stretch from the end of May, I guess, into parts of June there where he had 2 or 3 outings where he gave up 4 runs. But, you know, other than that, like you said, just a really dominant season, really nothing going wrong for him. It did seem like he had some outings, and you could tell, you know, by his analytics there, where things just didn't go his way, some bloop hits here and there. So he had some of that going on, but overall, not much really going wrong for Corbin Burns in 2021. It was a fantastic season for him. And then looking at the future, his future with this Brewers team, Vinny, I mean, he's somebody I think is going to be a cornerstone in the rotation for the Milwaukee Brewers for a long time to come. I don't see him going anywhere anytime soon. I think he's going to be the ace of this pitching staff, perhaps the face of this franchise, but you know, seeing what goes on with Christian Yelich, and if he continues to fade back, you could see Corbin Burns kind of step up and become this face of the franchise player. we've already talked about how he's more, you know, nationally known. As good as Brandon Woodruff has been, just for whatever reason, he doesn't have that national presence, just because he's not quite as dominant as Corbin Burns. Woodruff is still one of the best pitchers in baseball, but I think Burns kind of has that flair to him that draws a lot of attention nationally, on a national level. So I think, you know, he's somebody that could become kind of that face of the Brewers going forward. Obviously, he's under control for a while with Milwaukee, so I think his future is pretty clear in Milwaukee for a long time, Benny. I don't see the 27-year-old righty going anywhere.
I mean, it's just, again, wishing to want to be a fly on the wall in some of these conversations, the contract extension conversation, which I'm sure has been floated at some point, I'm sure, right? I mean, I wonder what that number is, right? Because you wonder if this guy is going to be an age like a Max Scherzer, like a Justin Verlander, where he just continues to kind of defy the age curve. Well, he hasn't even hit the down slope of that age curve. He's actually continuing to go up in terms of performance on that age curve. He'll hit that and start to go on the down slope around age 32 or 33, I believe, is when it starts to decline for pitchers. But you wonder if he's going to, because of the makeup, because of the his ability just to work so hard and keep himself in great shape and be incredibly strong, you wonder if he's going to defy that age curve. So I'm wondering if the Brewers would take a shot at extending this kid, because, man, he is some kind of dominant. And, yeah, I mean, it'd be nice, like you said, to have him as the face of your pitching staff for years to come.
Yeah, and just to give you a contract, you know, update on him, according to Baseball Reference, 2022 will be his first year of arbitration, where he'll probably get a nice little bump in salary to around $4 million, and then he'll be arbitration eligible in 2023 and 2024 before becoming a free agent after the 2024 season. So only 3 more years of control for Corbin Burns, so it might not be a bad time to start thinking about contract extensions. Again, he is 27, so even at the end of those 3 years, he'd be 30. He'd start to, you know, be getting close to that, you know, age of decline that we typically see for pitchers. Now, he did just turn 27. He turned 27 in October, so he's a young 27. But again, I think it could be time to maybe start having those conversations and seeing if the Brewers can lock him up for the next 6 years and keep him as the face of the leader of that rotation, like we talked about. Certainly wouldn't be a bad idea. But that does it for our player review of Corbin Burns. And that will do it for this episode of Locked On Brewers as well. Make sure that you follow us on Twitter at Locked On Brewers. Make sure you follow me at Shortstop Ball and Vinny at Vinny Rattino. Also, make sure that you rate, review, and subscribe to the Locked On Brewers podcast wherever you get your podcast. And we will talk to you next time.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.